good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callen, president of Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. Today, we have a business-to-business or business-to-consumer conversation going on with Jennifer Perlmutter, the owner of Perlmutter Galleries. We're going to talk about art and business and how they combine. So, Jennifer, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
And I'll just give you a quick plug, and I'll let you finish it at the end of this. But Perlmutter Galleries is in Lafayette, where I met Jennifer, when she took over the Wells Fargo building. And she is super tight and in tight with the community and very service-oriented. Recently, she opened up another gallery in Carmel. I've gone art shopping many times in Carmel. We're going to talk about taste in a moment about art and how different that is. And I'm sure, you know, we've had up to 8,000 people listening to this with at least 8,000 opinions on what they like on art.
Yep.
So Jennifer, I want to talk to you first about the business of art. Can we do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
So how does one open up a gallery? How does one decide what type of art they should have? You are both an artist and a gallery owner. Sometimes it's conflict with each other. I'm sure you're trying to support your artist. Of course, you're trying to sell your own stuff at the same time. Everybody respects that. You got to make a living. If you're only selling products that you have on a contingency basis, you're not making enough money. If you're only selling your own product, no other artist is going to be in your gallery. How do you balance this out?
I love that you even know that, Elliot. That goes over a lot of people's heads. But of course, in your business, you're looking at economics all the time. Your first question of, you know, how do you open an art gallery? Well, you need to have a really strong passion to do so. And a strong passion for not only art, but a passion to connect, because art is a luxury market and not everyone's going to connect with it. So you have to understand that building stories around your products and embracing the creators, the artists, you're going to be dealing with personalities. It's, you know, we represent probably over 15 to 20 artists right now. And each one of them comes with a different kind of personality and professionalism. So really early on, after you've decided you're going to undertake this nearly impossible business model, and that could be a whole other show in terms of how the business of art and where it's going right now. You've decided to deal with all these various personalities. It's like opening a company and immediately having, 25 employees, and they all need to be heard, and they all want their hours, so to speak. And so I grew up with, my mom and dad were entrepreneurs, and they ran restaurants when I was growing up. And that's a very hard business, all-consuming, 24/7 business. So I wasn't a stranger to the amount of work and energy it was going to take to ramp up something like an art gallery. Yes, I was an artist. I had shown in Los Angeles quite a lot and built up my representation, my audience, my body of work. I was felt, you know, in a place of confidence about my work, always learning, but I knew that my work was placeable and had been placed in hotels, and I'd been commissioned and so forth, and had a solo show. So I was ready to open up the gallery with my own work. And, you know, I was mopping the floors and doing everything. And then a couple of months in, I had artists here in Lafayette, you know, they're in this Contra Costa area. There's a lot of artists, but there aren't many galleries. So when one opens up, they kind of come out of the woodwork and come in. And my network of artists just grew and grew, and they started to really enjoy coming to the receptions. And then as my network of artists grew, I took them on and, started to represent. I really didn't know that I was going to be doing that, you know, creating a consignment agreement. I hadn't even planned on doing that. So I contacted people that had them and looked at the ones that I had signed and made my own consignment agreement. And then a lot of my artists were just on a handshake and a verbal agreement at this point. But at the beginning, it was, I wanted to make sure that everything was like really tied down because I didn't know what to expect. And that was 7 years ago when I opened the first gallery in Lafayette.
So let me talk about consumer taste, because you are at the mercy of taste, for sure.
Yeah.
And of course, you're at the mercy of a price range, but we'll get to that secondly. Let's talk about taste. I know, and I laugh at this. We just had a conversation about this earlier. If it looks like a trapezoid, or it has seven sides, or it's got a red hand coming out the back of a toilet bowl for modern art, or it's got a dot on a white piece of paper, it's going to drive me nuts. If it's a portrait and it's somewhat real, I'm going to love it. If it's Monet-like and in Monet and it's watercolor, my ex-wife will drool. And for me, just get me to a different museum.
Okay.
Taste is so personal. How do you just deal with all these tastes, the fickle people like myself that think we know what we like and we don't even really know what we like?
Well, it's very, you know, for me, first of all, this isn't a grocery store where I want to be sure to stock everything. So whatever gallery you decide you're going to go to, unlike a museum, which will, let's say any modern museum will have a certain set of artists in their collection, a gallery is going to present the point of view of the head curator or owner. And that's usually the same person. So as the curator of the gallery, I have a taste. And that's what you're seeing when you come in. I can't please everyone. In fact, I'll probably please a third of the people. So I have to be okay with that. And there have been, you know, plenty of people that have come in and, you know, will do a really fast loop and like, okay, thank you. And then there are others that will come in, stay a long time, and then bring other family members back. So it's my taste in the end. And that's just the way it is in a kind of boutique setting where everything is curated and selected and one of a kind, because I just know that I'm not going to please everyone. And, you know, at first when I open with just my work, you know, there's no way, you know, one artist is going to please everyone, right? You're going to create what you create and you're going to want to share it or not. I was always inclined to want to share it, and I would turn some people on and I would turn some people off. But you can't get in the game if you're concerned about pleasing everyone, because it's just impossible. And so the taste that I have I'm sure is informed by my upbringing. You know, my mom, she was always really good at putting the house together and like making things very, you know, in harmony with one another. And then as I went off to college and started experimenting and worked in Los Angeles and everything, I was really driven by the modern movement. Now, I love Impressionism, love it. But I incorporate that in my abstract expressionism. I call myself an abstract impressionist. So there are some things you would see. And so when I'm curating, so as I'm starting with my own collection, when I started to bring on other artists, I can't do that willy-nilly, because when you go into a space, a gallery, to see a collection, depending on the architecture of the space, which ours is like all one room, you've got to create a collection that is pleasing all around, that has variety, so you can hit a couple different tastes. You know, I might have the horse that we were talking about earlier, but then I'm also going to have the abstract if you go to another area. But the reason they're going to talk to each other and they're going to work is because the palette or the mark making or something about the way those artists are carrying on goes together. And I have to see that through my lens, through my personal taste and I guess eye for beauty and kind of what works. And then also getting feedback in that first year or so, when I didn't know what was going to be anyone's taste around here. Like I said, I just had my art. As I started to bring in other work, I could get feedback, right? And I had a solo show of an incredible artist who did realist paintings of horses, you know, running through the seashore and lions, and just gorgeous work. None of it sold, not one. So I got a view of the audience. You know, if you're going to be in business, That means you're transacting. That takes two people. So you've got to think about the other person to a degree that you don't sell out your own point of view. So I can get some feedback. I got some data that first 2-3 years. And I saw, okay, I'm not going to be for everyone, but there's definitely an affinity for what I'm showing in my point of view. And so that's what I would suggest to people who are coming in. You know, not only that, but we'll, because our network of artists is so large and we curate what we do in the gallery, we also have an inventory room in the back, and that has work in it that might not exactly go with this collection right now, but we change our collection. We mix it up every month or 6 weeks or so. So there might be something in the back. There might be portraiture in the back that's not on the floor. So it's always good to ask whoever is on the floor, do you have anything else? Or, you know, I'm looking for. The other thing that happens is because our network of artists is beyond what's just in these walls, I might have a really great idea of who does what the person is asking. And then, you know, I'm happy to make the introduction or get the artist on the phone, have them drop off work. So that there's this experience that goes beyond your one visit. It's much bigger. And I think anyone who runs a legit gallery knows that our sales cycle can sometimes be, you know, on average, it could be anywhere from 2 weeks to make a sale of, you know, $3,000 to $5,000, up to, you know, 6 to 8 months or a year. So we keep those lines of communication open that whole time. Meanwhile, you know, we're getting new art. Oh, Nancy said she loved, you know, still life. We just met a still life artist. Let's get this over to her, get a photo over to her. And she thinks about it. Another big deal in our business is service. Because you know, we don't want you shopping online for original work. We've had clients come in from Lafayette who said, oh, I bought something online. It's really not the color I thought it was. Okay, well, find somewhere else in your house to put it. Maybe that's not focal in your living room, since it's not, you know, what you really wanted. And let's curate for the living room space so you can see it right in person, and we'll bring it into your house. So we do emphasize service.
So what is the difference? You're a boutique gallery. And yeah. I know there are in San Francisco, they have on Jackson Street and Fisherman's Wharf, they have commercial galleries. Right. What's the difference?
That's a great question, Elliot. So I don't know any. No, I shouldn't say that. There was a commercial gallery in Beverly Hills that I was actually a part of for a minute. And the difference is, first of all, a good deal of what's on their floor is going to be could be giclées, which is a high output color print of art. That's sometimes embellished on the top. And that's always noted. You know what you're buying. But people, a lot of times people don't care if it's not an original work. At the artist studio, paint's right there. Oil, you know, it's right on the side. I can see the whole thing. It's an original piece of work that was, you know, so those commercial galleries are going to carry more reproductions, and they're going to carry works from mostly they'll do international works, things getting shipped to them. Maybe artists that are making multiples of a series of works. What else is the difference? They're sometimes franchised. So they're moving there. They have a gallery in New Orleans and Atlanta and San Francisco and Chicago, and they're moving inventory around like that. But they're usually, I don't want to speak out of turn in terms of their model, but that they're oftentimes a triple net to what the artist is bringing in. So if I take my painting over to, you know, commercial gallery at the Wharf, and it, you know, my net, what I'm asking back on that on my consignment sheet is $1,000, they'll sell it for $3,000. And that's really common in a commercial gallery such as that. I mean, in our gallery, we split our sale with the artist. So we do all the upfront things that the artist expects, the marketing, the advertising, the sale, the transacting, fees, taxes, and the artist gets a portion of the sale. a triple net is what happens usually in franchise bigger places, because they're always negotiating against shipping and they always want to negotiate. It's, you know, I get that a lot of people do always want to ask for a discount, but we haven't really accounted for that in our price on the floor. So we want to leave our collection accessible so that when you come in, you think, oh, this is awesome. This is work that I would expect to see in San Francisco or any, you know, top city, but I don't have to go there. And I'm also getting it, you know, for less than triple net of the artist price.
Okay, just a marketing question here. This has been great. And I'm talking with Jennifer Perlmutter, Perlmutter Galleries, Lafayette and Carmel. And so the internet's got to be changing the way everybody's doing business, including yours. So how is it changing your business? And what is the future of the gallery? Is it actually a store I go into? Or is it virtual? Do I put a helmet on and look at art? And what's the future?
Right. Oh, it's such a good question. Well, so let's see. So in terms of how the current climate has impacted us about going online and what have you, when the pandemic, but even pre-pandemic, you know, it's brick and mortar galleries were starting to decline and representation for artists was starting to decline. Although I would never say it's going to go away. I will not tell you that galleries are dying. That is not something I say. Because witness, I've been around for 7 years and I just opened a new gallery. So, but because I know that a lot of people shop online and their confidence in purchasing art online is only gonna probably increase as sellers become better at the way they represent the art online. I think that it's, you know, when it first started to happen, COVID, for example, when we were like shut down and we couldn't do any of our exhibits and receptions and events, we said, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Well, let's see, you know, you go back to your audience, your lead sheet and everything, you do what you can. We started doing an online auction so that our artists could still get the work in front of people. And we tried that for 8 months last year with some success. And then the future of an art gallery is anyone's guess. And I would call all artists forward to represent themselves and create the new path. And what's changed, Elliot, is that no one's coming to save you. And you don't need permission to do anything anymore. You take the bull by the horns, you decide what you want, and you go for it. And if what I want is a personal experience and connection, then I'll probably always do galleries. And from the looks of Carmel by the Sea, where I've been the last, you know, 9 months, it's not going away. It's not going away. We have people coming from all over the country visiting art galleries and dining and having this like connection, going in and talking to artists. It's a very rare thing. It's a human thing. And so I don't think that that's ever going to go away, because there'll always be artists. We'll always be painting. We'll always be sculpting. We'll always be creating something new. And sharing that, connecting with people is life's purpose.
Jennifer, what's the best way for people to reach you?
Best way for people to reach us is through our website, jenniferperlmuttergallery.com. There's contact there. There's also our Instagram, which is Jen Perlmutter Gallery at Jen Perlmutter Gallery. And you can message us there or go right to the website.
And they can reach me as well, that I'll forward them to you. So we've been talking with Jennifer Perlmutter of Perlmutter Galleries. It's great to talk to you. It's a super interesting subject. I laugh, and we were laughing before we came on air about how, oh, I feel like I've got different taste. I'm not nouveau. I'm not abstract. I'm not watercolors. I like glass, and I like defined things that I look at that are relatively defined, but don't need to be a photograph. They're still done in oil. So I'm not sure where that puts me, but maybe it puts me in the 17th century or something like that.
Not at all. Not at all. There's some, you know, a few of those things. What about photography?
I like some photography. I struggle with black and white, Ansel Adams, but I love some scenery scenes. Not people so much, but some just amazing scenery.
The other thing I'd offer is that while you can bring something into your home that really does change the conversation, that is something that our clients have shared with us. It changes the mood. You can also do that for yourself by just going into a gallery. Like, I love it. Trust me, when people walk in, I mean, I'll have the best days on a Saturday just talking to people, coming in, talking to them about the art. So, and you can come in and you can ask us, like, what the heck is that? Or why do you think the artist did that? Because when we have our artists drop off, or when we're at the studio visiting them, they tell us stories about their work. And that's what we want to pass on to you, so that you can actually have a connection and go, oh yeah, I get why she put that bowl there. What does that make? That doesn't make any sense. But now it makes sense because the artist is expressing this inner world.
Great. So if you want an introduction to Jennifer at any time, you can reach her. You can reach me. She's down in Carmel on long weekends, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I'm going to be down there on Monday the 28th with some family, 28th of June, with some family in town, and, just gorgeous stuff. And thank you for being with us, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me, Elliot.
You're welcome. Have a great day, everyone.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.